This is the Friday, December 21st, 2018 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Mark Gold. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks, Delaney. Nice to be here again.
Okay, Mark, I've got to ask. We're going to start here with a fun question before we get to the commodity markets. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, that's tough. I would have to say Miracle on 34th Street.
That's a
good
one.
You know, I'm an old guy, and it's an old movie. And, you know, you got to love it.
You do.
It's just always been my favorite.
That's right. Well, we've
closely
got,
followed by Christmas Story.
That's my favorite is A Christmas Story. Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. Yeah, favorite line from that movie. That's appropriate to air on TV. Let's talk here, starting off with the oil markets. We hit an 18-month low. Are we going to hold here or continue lower?
I think we can go a little bit lower in here. We'll see how the stock market acts. Tough day on Friday. There's some port down around $41 a barrel, which are the old lows. So another $4 or so, roughly, $3-$4 lower. And then there'll be some support at 39. I'm guessing we're going to hold those levels. But OPEC, to me, seems like it's a done deal. That dog is, you know, that dog's dead as far as I'm concerned. You see different countries pulling out of it. You've got the United States producing an awful lot of oil and exporting a lot of oil. So can this thing crack harder? It's certainly possible. Can we get down to those lows we had several years ago in the low 30s? It's possible. But we're still going to use a lot of oil, and there'll be tensions around the world, and it'll trade as volatile as it usually does when anything pops around the world.
Explain to me what you mean OPEC is a dead dog, to use your terminology.
Yeah, I just don't think OPEC's going to exist as a group much longer. I mean, you've got so much infighting in OPEC. You've got so many people who, you know, they have set the quotas and ignore the quotas that it really isn't a functional, real threat to the rest of the world as it was for many, many years. So are they going to redo it, do something different? Probably. But I don't think they're going to have the control that they've had in the past.
So if that does, if we just get rid of OPEC altogether, does that just make it a free market, a free-for-all in the oil market?
It could be. I don't think that'll happen, though. I think the Middle Eastern countries and Venezuela and other places are smart enough not to let that happen. But is it going to have the strength and the ability to keep a tight grip? I don't think so. Over time, I think their strength is going to wane more and more every year.
Let's talk about another impactful thing here in the soybean markets. We've got Phil in Dresden, Ontario, at Agridome on Twitter. He said, is there an argument to be made for $11 soybeans in the future within the next 3 months, or is that simply ridiculous?
Well, if we get a major problem in Brazil, no. We've got new crop beans at $9.50. We go to $11, $1.50. The bean market can rally $1.50 quicker than you can say Jack jump over the candlestick.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's out of the question. But do we have a problem in South America? They were getting some rains in South America where they needed it, Parana. We don't know how bad those are or how much the rain's going to be. It looks like it's drying out in Argentina a little bit. But again, are the rains coming back? But they would need a significant problem there. And solid Chinese buying. We need to get to 6 or 7 million metric tons. Then I think you can talk about $11 beans.
I'm going to skip ahead here a couple of questions down the list because that leads right into a question here we've got about Chinese soybean demand. Yeah. Matthew in Ankeny, Iowa, at Wild IA Soybeans would like to know how many bushels of soybeans will China have to buy to move the market 50 cents higher or more?
Yeah, we'd need to see another 3 or 4 million metric tons. I think that would get us 50 cents higher than where we're at now, particularly on an old crop. Funds are short, probably 35,000 contracts tonight. So if they come in and buy and try the long side, you know, we could certainly have a 50 cent rally without any trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to buy that much? You know, I think 5 million is pretty much in the books that I think we can count on between now and the next couple of weeks. Are they going to buy that extra 2 or 3 million metric tons, it'll really move that needle on the carryouts. We'll have to see.
So it'll move the needle on the carryouts, but when you look at the impact it needs to have to move prices, what are we talking here? 6 to 8, 10 to 12 million? What do we need to see China
Well, I think if we can get 6 to 8, that'll certainly move the price.
Okay.
And, you know, the more we start looking at the carryouts going from 950 to 800 to 650 or to 600, and you're going to lose 4 or 5 million acres next year.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got a situation that if we had bad weather here, you could have a soybean market One of the things I'm suggesting to clients, no matter what else they do this year, if they are selling out grain at cheap prices and want to forward contract 19 at, I believe, at relatively cheap prices, you need to own a call option out in May or July next year to keep the upside open in this market, because I do believe there's some potential out there.
Let's talk about acreage here for just a second, because a lot of people have been estimating, what are we going to see, corn and soybeans and wheat-wise. We've got a question here from GA in Iowa, at Basis Eater on Twitter. Over or under 92 million corn acres?
I think we'll be over. Guys like to plant corn. They like to plant it, grow it, and harvest it. And when they've got an excuse to plant more corn, they'll plant more corn. And I think a 4 million acre shift is certainly in the cards out here. And I think they'll lose it out of soybeans. We'll see what happens with cotton and some of the other competitors, wheat, as time goes on. But I think, you know, we're going to see a nice pickup in corn acres. That will keep a lid on the December 19 corn unless we have a weather problem here. And again, if you're selling $4 new crop corn, would I want to re-own it with a call option? There's a lot of time in the next year. Mm-hmm. And historically, what we've seen in markets is some of the biggest, best bull markets we've ever had have started with the biggest carryouts. So do I want to get real aggressive and sell this year and go forward contract next year without replacing it with a call option? No, thank you. I'll leave that to somebody else.
Is there a timeline when we're going to start seeing, let's say we do get over 92 million acres in corn, is there a time of year when we're going to see that reflected in the deferred month contracts, that factor?
No, I don't think so. I think the market's pretty well anticipating a big shift. Mm-hmm. We've got December 19 corn, 20, 25 cents over the nearbys. And I don't see that eroding unless there's, you know, some major surprise out there. I think the 19 crop will stay strong relative to the 18. We've got so much grain still around. The piles are still out there. So I don't see that happening. Yes, if old crop goes down, new crop's going with it. But I think the new crop will hold up relatively well, even with a 4 million acre increase.
Okay. Let's talk here for a second about processors' wallets. We've got a question from Lee in Mankato, Minnesota. He said, while the producers' wallets have been lightened up with low prices for 5 years, what about the wallets of grain processors like AGP, Cargill, CHS, and ADM? How have their bottom lines been affected and why?
I think Lee wants to get me in trouble here.
You can tread lightly.
You know, certainly this has been an opportunity for commercials. What commercials want to do is originate grain, and they want to make their margins on that grain. And certainly there's been plenty of grain to make those margins on. So I believe they're doing okay. Their storage fees have been astronomically high. Is it because they're taking advantage? No, they're in a situation where there's only so much room. Now, is there something that can be done for the American farmer? I believe they can. I don't have any problem with commercials. They're an incredibly important part in the whole process of farming and agriculture. I really have problems with some of the marketing things that they do and offer. But I think the commercials are doing just fine. I don't think we'll see any tag days soon for any of the grain companies.
All right, Mark, last question here from social media. I know you are an options man. We've been talking a lot about puts and calls. We've got a question here from Greg on Twitter. He said, shouldn't farmers be selling calls instead of buying them? And how much collateral do professional market advisors put up?
Well, if you want to go broke in a hurry, you go sell these calls. We just had a situation 2 months ago with guys that had sold natural gas calls, and natural gas went through the roof, blew out an entire firm.
Mm-hmm. I read about that.
Because, gee, we're going to sell a call for a nickel, and we've got an 85% chance of capturing it, but when it goes bad so quick and so bad that you can go bust. And we've seen too many times where guys sell calls. Some people out there recommend selling two calls to pay for one put. Well, I always say, if you sell one call to pay for a put, shoot yourself in the foot. If you sell two calls to pay for a put, just go ahead and shoot yourself in the head. Because in my opinion, it's death. You're looking for a minimal gain in exposing yourself to unlimited risk out there. That's not a game as a risk manager I ever want to play with my clients. What's your exit plan when it goes bad overnight? If the Chinese come in, if the Russians come in, if something happens overnight, there's a drought, a frost, and this thing, beans are up $2 a bushel and corn's up 50 cents. What's your game plan now? Hope and pray? Well, good luck. Usually what we see, our guys will buy futures to try to protect it. Then the market falls out of bed and they catch it both ways. It's an absolute recipe for disaster. It isn't worth the money. Yes, 85% of the time, an option will expire worthless at expiration. But that doesn't tell you what percent of options can explode on you before they expire. And that's the risk I don't want any one of my clients taking.
Well, you sound like you were definitely passionate about that.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, final question. We're going to end on a fun one. What's your favorite Christmas dessert or Christmas goodie?
Well, that's a tough one. You know, for me, anything chocolate.
I'm the same.
Just inject it right, you know, just give me the IV right in the arm and I'll take the chocolate.
I'm not much of a fruitcake person myself.
No, I'm not huge on fruitcake, but, you know, we get Christmas cookies. I love cookies, anything chocolate. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say I have a favorite, but if it's chocolate, I'm there.
Absolutely. Mark Gould, thank you so much and have a very Merry Christmas.
You too, Delaney. Thank you.
Join us again next week when we'll explore how one farmer is using the richest soil on earth to combat food insecurity, and Tom Fitzenmeyer will join me at the Market to Market table. Until then, thanks for watching, listening, or reading. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.